It is Wisconsin Weekend, coming to you from Superior. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about craft beer in the Twin Ports. Beer consists of yeast, grain, hops, water, and water is a biggie. It makes up more than 90% of beer. Water from the depths of Lake Superior is naturally soft, which is a good thing, not to have to remove all the minerals. Are you a craft beer tourist or someone who enjoys tasting local beer when you visit a town? What breweries have you visited around Wisconsin? And what did you enjoy about them? We're at 800-642-1234. Frank Kashuba is Director of Brewing Operations at Earth Rider Brewery in Superior. Frank, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So at Earth Rider, you promote the brewery's use of Lake Superior water to make beer. Why is that important? Is it better than other sources?
Well, Lake Superior water, as you mentioned, is very soft, has very low mineral content, which makes it a really nice blank palate for breweries to make beer. Beer styles originated in areas because of the water, actually, that was there. So pilsners in the Czech Republic worked really well because the water was really soft, whereas in Dublin, Ireland, you know, different country, but the water is really hard, so making a beer like a pilsner there wouldn't taste the same. It wouldn't taste very good. And that was, of course, you know, years before, centuries before, people really understood water chemistry. But having this soft water source means that we can make pretty much any beer style that we want pretty easily because we start with this soft water. And then if we want to add more minerals to it, we can. So it adjusts it pretty easily.
Yeah. Right. So you start with a more of a kind of a cleaner palate,
exactly.
Not having to remove any salts, any minerals. How do you measure water quality for making beer?
Well, part of it is just subjectively tasting it. You know, and you could taste compared. You if you've traveled around, your municipal water sources vary a lot in how good the water tastes. And water being the hugest ingredient by far in beer, if the water is going to taste good, you have a better chance of making really good beer.
What other local ingredients have you used in making beers?
Well, on and off through my career, I've used some local hops. Hops are starting to be grown more and more commonly in the in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan. Traditionally, hops were grown in this region, you know, in the early 1900s before hop production was moved out to the Pacific Northwest, and that's now where most of it takes place. Also, there's been a push for more local grain to be grown. So some specific barley sources or barley varieties that can grow really well, say in Minnesota, a lot of the barley that's grown now is grown on the Great Plains. So the Dakotas, Montana, prairie provinces of Canada. But again, more research is being done by some of the local universities to find barley varieties that'll work well in this area. It's always a challenge because corn is king. And if you can grow corn, you're going to get a better price for it. So it's trying to get farmers to grow really high-quality barley for the best beer production.
Well, it's kind of neat because you have local beer, but then local ingredients, which really makes it special to an area like Superior.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some craft breweries change their beers all the time, and others always have, like, a standard offering. Mm-hmm. How often do you develop new beers, and what does that process look like?
Yeah, it's definitely a balance, and different breweries do it different ways. And what we've done at Earth Rider is we have a series of beers that we have around all the time, flagship beers, which include our Superior Pale Ale, Caribou Lake IPA, North Tower Stout, and Precious Material Helles. So those are always available and available in cans. We rotate some other beers, so like we have a fruited kettle sour. Those are becoming much more popular. So we have a raspberry version of that called Raspberry Crush. We had just come out with Blackberry Crush as well, so blackberry infused kettle sour. But then we have a lot of seasonals, and some of them are really seasonal, like depending on that time of year, it's people want to drink. So in the fall, it's Oktoberfest style beers because people love to drink those. But if you have those around in November, nobody wants to touch them. So you have to have the timing of some of these beers down really well. And so, you know, lighter, crisper beers for the summertime, usually some heavier barrel-aged beers, imperial stouts, things like that for the wintertime.
Is there anything anyone can do with cranberries? We've got an excess of cranberries in our state. I'm looking for some markets.
We do actually use, we have used cranberry in some of our beer. Actually, we made a cranberry version of that fruited kettle sour last fall that went over really well. And we partnered with a bar, one of our retail partners in Stone Lake, Wisconsin, which is a big cranberry growing region. They have a cranberry festival in the fall.
Oh.
And we made this beer called Cranberry Crush, and they poured it at that festival. So
I bet that was well received.
It was really well received. Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking with Frank Kashuba. He is director of brewing operations at Earth Rider Brewery in Superior. What do you think of the surge in craft breweries across Wisconsin? Are you excited about all the new offerings? Or perhaps you have questions, maybe a little bit overwhelmed. We're at 800-642-1234. Give a call. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Frank, you've been a craft brewer in this region for more than 15 years. What have you seen change over time?
Well, for one, there's a lot more craft breweries now, which is awesome. It's an incredible thing because it's this analogy of a rising tide lifts all boats. And if we have more and more good craft beer being made locally, that means more people are going to come here to visit. Craft beer tourism is a really big thing. And if you can go to a region that has several really good breweries, you're more likely to go there than to seek out one brewery, for instance.
Do you think there's more interest from local customers, that you get even locals coming in and seeking out local beer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Superior has been extremely supportive of us. Earth Rider Brewery is the first production brewery to be in Superior since 1967 when Northern Brewing Company closed. And so when we started up the brewery, I was really, really pleased at the support that we're getting from the crowd from Superior, Wisconsin. So,
what about that increase of competition? Because you still have to maintain that bottom line. I mean, mm-hmm. when we were at your brewery yesterday, you have a ton of infrastructure there. That's
right.
A lot of investment.
That is true. Yeah, well, that just means competition means that you have to be producing a really high-quality product if you want to succeed. And as everybody else gets better, it means you need to get better too. So it pushes us to make the best beer that we can. Quality is king in craft beer.
The city of Superior received a state grant in 2017 to renovate this warehouse for the Earth Rider Brewery, very large warehouse. How mm-hmm. much of a role did that grant play in getting your brewery started?
Yeah, the city of Superior itself has been incredible for us to work with. They were very supportive of bringing a brewery into town. And they were a really good ally in working with the state on bringing some grant money in for us so that we could remodel the old Lehman Mercantile warehouse space and turn into a really functional brewery.
How large of a space is that?
It's about 10,000 square feet. So we've got some room to grow, which is great because I don't want to run out of room too early.
What is the role of government in helping local breweries succeed?
Well, I think as we just talked about, having some grant money available to help new businesses get off the ground is a good thing. Also, just, I don't know, being supportive and helpful in other ways.
Do you see camaraderie from your fellow local brewers? Do you guys get together?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't get together as much as I used to because I have a wife and son at home and I live outside of town, so I'm usually at work and then occasional an evening event and then going home, but still enjoy getting together with a lot of people that I've worked with over the years in the Duluth Superior area and running a lot of great breweries in town. So
we're talking craft beer and Lake Superior water on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Frank Kashuba is our guide. He is director of brewing operations at Earth Rider Brewery in Superior. Are you an amateur brewer? Are you interested in learning more about brewing? What questions do you have about getting started? And what flavors would you like to see in a craft beer? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to brewing, maybe hear from you in just a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking craft beers and why Lake Superior is a great source for beer makers in this region. It is Wisconsin Weekend. We're coming to you from Superior. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Craft brewers in the Twin Ports have been bragging about the quality of Lake Superior water for decades. What do you think of the surge in craft breweries across Wisconsin? Are you excited about all the new offerings or maybe perhaps overwhelmed? Join in at 800-642-1234 to give a shout out to your favorite craft beer. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Frank Kashuba is our guide. He is director of brewing operations at Earth Rider Brewery in Superior. And Frank, we got an email from Jonathan who says, shout out to South Shore Brewery in Ashland in Washburn, Wisconsin. Best water ever, great beer. And Jonathan really loves the Rhodes Scholar Stout.
Yeah.
That is a very smart beer.
South Shore Brewery does a great job with those beers, yeah.
I love the name. Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. Well, the morning show, as I said before, visited your brewery yesterday, and we saw bags of ingredients and machines. We saw shiny aluminum tanks and spigots. And Earth Rider's Steve Margren gave us a bit of an explanation. Let's listen.
We're just purging the tank of all the oxygen. So we want CO2 in there. Oxygen is bad for beer. Oxidizes it, kind of gives it that like kind of cardboardy taste. So we don't want any oxygen in here. So we're pumping CO2 into the bottom and then all the oxygen out the top.
Sounds like a chemistry experiment.
It is a little bit, yeah.
And it's so precise. Your brewing process is absolutely precise. I mean, you're literally punching in numbers to make sure you have the exact temperature right.
Right. Brewing is a real nice mixture of art and science. And it's really interesting for me because I have a science background, and so I draw on those strengths. But then it's a really great creative outlet for me as well. So It marries up pretty interestingly, yeah. But definitely you have to know what you're doing in terms of some of those precision things in order to make a really consistent quality beer.
How do you keep your yeast doing what you want it to do? Because can't yeast get a little renegade?
Yeah, they can. and actually, as I mentioned, we were chatting yesterday that really as brewers, we're really yeast farmers. We can't make the beer. We're making food for the yeast. And if we're keeping the yeast happy, then that's about the most important thing that we can do because it really all starts with the yeast. So it's just, feeding them what they want to eat and then taking good care of them. We'll actually reuse yeast from batch to batch and make sure that they're being stored properly, the right conditions, and that they're getting used when they're not being stored for too long.
And you have a really interesting process of moving your ingredients through the process. Can you explain?
Yeah. So on the grain side of things, our malted barley, we have a mill and a grist case. So basically the day before we brew, we crush up the grain to our specifications. It gets stored in a grist case, so basically a plastic silo. And then it gets moved by a conveyance method called a cable bay, which is a very gentle way of moving the grain around. And it moves it from one side of the brewery to the other over to our brewing equipment where in our mash tun it's mixed with hot water.
Why do you not want to jostle the grain after you've, broken it up just so?
Right. Well, that gets back to some of the consistent quality things that I just mentioned. When we have the grain cracked to the specifications that we want, we don't want it further degraded. We don't want it broken down more. So being able to move it gently from place to place is really important.
Let's go to Dan now, joining us from Drummond. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Now, one of the breweries, although I don't get to it myself, is in Ashland, and that's the South Shore Brewery. But a regular beer makes me sick as anything. But one of the specially crafted beers is from Liney Kugel, and it's called Berry Wise. And for me, that is something that I'm able to drink without getting sick on.
Dan, thanks so much for the call. Now there are two shouts out for South Shore Brewery.
Yeah, Bo does a great job there at Ashland, so yeah, I'm not surprised.
What is it about putting a berry or a fruit flavor in beer? How does it complement?
Well, part of it, it's the acidity of the fruit in with the beer, because fruit has natural acidity to it as well. But just, broadening the flavors, part of what's great about craft beer is that there's a lot of different choices in flavors. As opposed to the mass marketed beers, the big breweries are basically the flavors are very similar in between them, even though they have diehard fans one way or another. But with craft beer, there's a huge amount of different flavor choices. So people are likely to find something that they really like. Some people like more than others, but some people have very specific tastes. So,
and your North Tower Stout won a bronze medal at last year's World Beer Cup. Can you tell us about that beer?
Yeah, absolutely. We're extremely proud to have won at that big competition. Basically, they were giving out about 300 medals for over 8,000 beers entered in that competition. And so, yeah, our North Tower Stout is a shout-out to the North Tower area of Superior that we have our brewery in. And the beer itself has a lot of really nice dark chocolate notes, some coffee flavors as well. Even though there was no chocolate or coffee put in, that's all malt-related. And even some little dark fruit character in there, too, and finishes slightly sweet but very clean, and it's been really popular.
How do you go about finding a name for the beer?
You know, we kind of chat about it, and sometimes it just comes out of thin air, like, wow, we need to make a beer named this, and then in the future, you know, you keep that name and use it. And there's other times when you don't know what the name of it is until you taste the beer, and like, okay, we should call it this.
The brewery has an Aloise Amber Ale, a Royal Bohemian Pilsner, and a Cloud Top Hazy IPA. So, what about those beers? What pops out to you there in terms of their names as well?
Right. The Aloise Amber, well, that's a basically a neighborhood in Superior, also named for an explorer. I don't know all that much about Aloise or that's how it's pronounced here is Aloise, and though I know it's French. But so, you know, place names can be used and can work really well to create like associations with place. That's a lot of what craft brewery is about, association with a community. And other times, like with the Cloud Top Hazy IPA, hazy IPAs are described as being really soft and pillowy, kind of like a cloud. So the idea with a cloud top came to mind.
You are also a brewery consultant. Can you tell us a little bit about what that work involves?
Yeah. So part of what we do is as BevCraft, which is the consulting part of our company, as we help other breweries get off the ground. So basically getting started from concept to actually making beer. We also occasionally help breweries that are having problems with various issues.
In the brewing process?
Yeah, in the brewing process or in, well, more in the brewing process. Uh-huh. At least that would be my part of it, brewing process and recipes, just how their draft lines are set up, different things like that people run into problems with.
How important is it to get the right equipment and really good equipment?
To make consistent beer, having really good equipment is really important. You can make really good beer on really, really basic low-tech equipment, which is what I did for the majority of my career. But being able to make really consistent beer is more difficult until you get really nice equipment, I think.
Yeah, and when I walked into your brewery, I mean, it was all this shiny aluminum.
Shiny stainless.
Stainless steel. Yeah, that's a lot of steel.
It is, yeah.
Wow. So what challenges seem to be facing craft brewers in Superior or even around the state? What's out there? That's what's kind of difficult.
Yeah, as you alluded to before, you know, competition is a big thing. Competition for shelf space in a liquor store, competition for tap lines. And but again, it drives you to make the best beer that you can. And when people taste quality, that's something that people are drawn to. So,
what advice would you give to newbie brewers, people just getting started, perhaps even in their basement?
Yeah, getting started in your basement.
Or garage.
Well, yeah. boy, there's so many more resources available now online than when I started. Basically, I started homebrewing in 1991, and there were just a couple books available and not much else. And now there's so much information online that you can garner. So, you know, find sources online for getting information. Use the best ingredients that you can find. And just brew a lot, because you learn a lot by brewing and tasting your results.
Try and fail.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Try, fail, taste. Maybe not. Throw it out.
Yeah.
We'll try this again. Are there craft brewing clubs around? Is there some camaraderie?
There are craft brewing clubs. I used to belong to one in Duluth years ago when I was really into homebrewing, and called the Northern Ale Stars. But there's homebrewing clubs that are really active in the region and in many towns. So.
And is it best, perhaps, if you really want to get started as in a business and like yours, to mentor or have that chemistry background, or how would you get started in a business?
Yeah, definitely. Apprenticeships is one way that had been done in the past. That's not as common anymore. But basically getting a job in a brewery and learning from other brewers is a great way of doing it, because brewing on a commercial scale and brewing out of your garage or your basement are really two different things. And learning how the process works on a commercial level is a bit eye-opening when you start.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Frank Kashuba is Director of Brewing Operations at Earth Rider Brewery, and he joined us at WPR Studio here in Superior. We should also mention that Earth Rider Brewery is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. And you can weigh in as part of our Wisconsin project. We want to know what your favorite Wisconsin beer labels are. The labels with the most submissions go to a voting round where you select your favorite. Learn more at WPR.org/Wisconsin. It is Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Coming up, you won't run out of things to do here in northern Wisconsin. We're getting tips on what to see and do both on and off the beaten path. We're having a blast. News update is next. Stay with us from Superior here on the Ideas Network.